right. Well, when you hear that music, it's time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth, Soulful Psalms. You can find as its own podcast, podcastcentraletwtn.com, or you can go to one of your favorite podcast outlets, Spotify, iTunes, and I have them on both, actually. So again, I don't listen to myself, but if people ask, hey, how do I get it? I could just show them straight away. And of course, on the EWTN app, that's the best way to get it. All right. Well, we're taking a look at Psalm 39 today. The first, this is a fairly long Psalm. We have to break it into two parts. We're looking at the first seven verses of Psalm 39. So Psalm 39 is right toward the end of book one of the Psalms, and all the Psalms in book one, Psalms 1 to 41 are attributed to David. And so the prescript starts off as the entire first verse, as is common for Davidic Psalms, especially Psalms in this first book, for the choir master, for Jeduthun. Okay, now, who's Jeduthun? So again, if you remember that David appointed the chief Levites to appoint men, or he directed the chief Levites to appoint men to serve as superintendents of the musical guild of the Jewish temple. So we have guys like Asaph and the sons of Korah, and we have the Ezrahites, Heman and Etan. David, of course, wrote his own Psalms. But then we have this guy, Jeduthun. He only shows up basically in three Psalms, 39, 39, 62, and 77 are the three for Jeduthun. Now, the name Jeduthun means lauder or praiser, right? Like, for example, the office, the morning office is called Lauds. Well, it's called morning prayer, but the Latin name is Lauds, means to praise. And so Jeduthun means lauder or praiser in Hebrew. And so if you want a list of all those guys, by the way, 1 Chronicles 15, 16 to 22. Again, 1 Chronicles 15, 16 to 22 lists all of the superintendents of the musical guild. A Psalm of David, right? So for Jeduthun, a Psalm of David. Starts at verse 2. I said, I will be watchful of my ways, for fear I should sin with my tongue. I will put a curb on my lips when the wicked man stands before me. I was mute, silent, very still, as my pain became intense. Okay, I think there's a couple things going on here. The first thing to be mindful of is when you read these first verses 2 and 3 of this psalm, what image comes to mind? To me, Jesus standing before Pontius Pilate. All right? What did he say? I will put a... Remember, he says he was like the sheep before the shearer. Right? He was silent, not opening his mouth, right, when he stood before Pilate. Although he did say some things to Pilate finally, but at first he was not answering Pilate's question. Until Pilate said, do you not speak to me? Do you know I have the power of life and death? And then Jesus answers him, you would not have given this power unless it was given to you from above, right? But before then, he's silent like the sheep before the shearer, as it's in the suffering servant psalm in Isaiah 53. But here it says, I will put a curb on my lips when the wicked man stands before me. I was mute, silent, very still, as my pain became intense, right? Because again, why his pain becoming intense standing before Pilate? Because he knew the scourging was coming. Right, and he knew the crucifixion was coming, right? And so all of this is the lead up, and so that's the one sense. The other sense here, we're talking about humility today in light of Mark's gospel, and David recognizes, you know what? When the arrogant man stands in front of me, I don't want to mirror him. So he's saying things to me, and I say things back to him. That's not an avenue for dialogue at all. So what instead, so that he doesn't say something that's hurtful or cursing or wicked himself, he stands silent, right? Mute, silent, very still, as my pain became intense. As someone that's arrogant is yelling at you or something like that, you know, it starts to well up within yourself, right? It starts to well up within your soul. My heart was burning within me. At the thought of it, the fire blazed up. right? That's so, I love David. It's so human. It's so human, right? When you have the wicked standing before you, especially when you're getting into an argument with someone, or someone cuts you off in traffic, or someone got on your last nerve, right? It's like that fire burning up within you. When somebody hurt you, when somebody used you, when they took advantage of you, that fire burns up. And he says it. At the thought of it, just thinking about that incident, or thinking about what happened, the fire blazed up, right? So he can feel that fire burning within him, right? And so that's very important for us to understand how human David is when he's dealing with these issues with regard to his relationship to the Lord.
Well, and also when he's making reference to, like, you know, my time is fleeting. You know, in biblical time, people were living into the multiple hundreds, and to them, they still understood, or he still understood, the fleeting of time in the grand scheme of everything, because while us in our 90 to 100 years versus 700 plus, you know, it's kind of interesting to think about that it's still a matter of you got to let that stuff go.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You see, when you hold on to things like this, then God can't really work in you the way that he wants to.
Right.
He can't, because you're not giving him permission to.
Yeah.
Remember, God works within our hearts. If our hearts are filled with anger and jealousy and resentment, then the Holy Spirit is not going to force his way into your heart. You have to open your heart to let go of that stuff so that the Holy Spirit can replace all of that anger, animosity, jealousy, whatever, rage, whatever it is, with God's incredible divine mercy and love.
Well, and also think about when people say, well, yeah, you know, so-and-so hurt me or did, you know, they tell a full story and the person hearing it gets enraged just hearing that this happened to someone they know or care about. And like, yeah, but I forgave them. And then what? Like, it blows their mind.
Yeah.
And like, well, I didn't do it for them. I did it for me, because I'm not going to let them have that control over me, let alone what it does at eating away at my insides and all the strength and energy it takes to harbor all of that anger and frustration towards someone. It's not worth it.
No, absolutely. Let's be clear here. Now, when somebody does hurt you or you are wrong, we're not saying you shouldn't be angry.
Sure.
Of course you're going to be angry. Of course you're going to be upset. That's a natural human feeling and emotion. What David is experiencing here.
Yeah.
So we're not saying don't feel something, but we're saying is holding on to it, allowing that to linger. Sometimes the people for years.
Yeah.
For years, they don't talk to this person, even members of their own families. Because I get it, especially in issues like abuse and things like that. I totally get that. But ultimately, you know, God wants to use you for his glory, and he can't because of this. And David continues, my tongue burst into speech. O Lord, you have shown me my end. How short is the length of my days? Now I know how fleeting is my life. Whoa. Man, that is powerful. Oh, God, I love David. So here he is feeling this emotion because of the wickedness that's happening to him. And he knows that he's righteous, right? But yet the wicked comes, the evil comes, because people use their free will to say no to God. And so and he seems to be the victim. He's on the receiving end of this wickedness. He is angry about it. He said it's burning within his heart. It's welling up in him like a fire. But then, as he reflects on his attitude, he realizes, you know what? Life is short. I don't have time to spend this much energy in the short span of time that I have on this earth to be worrying about all of this, to put all this stress on my life. To put my heart under the strain of the weightiness of anger and vitriol that's building it within my heart. And then he continues in verse 6, how short the span of days you have given me. My life is as nothing in your sight. So he recognizes, like, life is fleeting. Life is short. My life is like nothing, Lord, compared to your magnificence, your omnipresence, and your greatness. Surely all mankind stands as but a breath. A man surely lives as a shadow, right? The shadow is very similar in Hebrew to the word image that's used in Genesis 1:26. It's the image and likeness of God, because that word, selem, means a shadow. That's the outline or representation of the original. So David is saying here, a man surely lives as a shadow, right? So he should be living in the image of God, right? Reflecting God's life. But he sees the fleetingness of it when we try to pursue earthly things. Surely the riches he hoards, a mere breath, right? He does not know who will gather them. Wow. So how are we spending our time, this brief time we have on earth? Anger, resentment, hoarding earthly things, worldly things? Or should we be focusing on God and pursuing his love and his justice and his truth?
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.